This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Sensible Portions. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws are deliciously crunchy, a better-for-you snack that the whole family is going to love. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, whoa, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they've just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a light and airy texture, and get this, they have 30% less fat than leading potato chips, so you can snack both sensible and delicious. It's a perfect on-the-go snack for kids to take back to school. And Sensible Portions has also come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried. It's a perfect poppable snack, and it comes in three delicious flavors: white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Ah, no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors. That's Sensible Portions. So head on over to Amazon.com/Sensible Portions to try Sensible Portions garden veggie straws and new garden veggie puffs. That's Amazon.com/Sensible Portions. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who thinks it's the Survivor viewers that are stuck in Murgatory. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And we have something a little bit different for you today. By the way, I just want to say Murgatory, as we have been corrected on social media. We said Xander came up with Murgatory, and actually it was the great Tiffany who is the person that coined Murgatory, and Xander is repeating it, allegedly, based on social media. But on a serious note today, so we had told everybody we had a podcast coming up with Todd. Todd was scheduled to appear this week, and unfortunately, Todd wasn't feeling up to doing the podcast this week, which is totally a bummer for all of us who wanted to hear from Todd. But hopefully Todd is feeling better soon, and hopefully we will be able to check in with him down the road. So thinking of Todd, hope he's feeling better, and we have to come up with something else. And so I reached out to my great friend Rick Devins and told him about how we needed somebody to come in, and Rick was happy to come on with us today. So we are not losing anything by getting to talk to Rick Devins here today on the podcast. So we will be bringing in Rick in just a moment to talk about everything from Survivor 41. So I got a good one here for you now. We will also have our Survivor Feedback Show over the weekend. Puya Zamdakili will be joining us. Make sure you get some voicemails in for when we talk with Puya coming up on Saturday. That's at robisthewebsite.com/voicemail if you want to get in your feedback questions on a week when I think we all have plenty of questions. We'll also be doing our Survivor 41 Q&A. Frail Mary, Mary Krakowski will join us for that one. So for the patrons of Rob's Podcast, by the way, November 1st is going to be Monday. Great time to jump in and ask your questions as a patron of Rob's Podcast coming up on Monday on our weekly patron Q&A show. Before we get to Rick Devins, I just also want to highlight the Survivor Stock Watch with Taryn Armstrong had a great guest this week. Big Brother 23's Claire joined Taryn to rate all the players this week. People seem to be really enjoying the Survivor Stock Watch, where Taryn goes through all the players left in the game and gives them a rating, like he does in the Big Brother Stock Watch with a guest every week. That is a video podcast as well. You can watch that live on Thursday, or check it out on our YouTube channel at robisthewebsite.com/YouTube. All right, I am so excited to bring in our guest here today, who is coming in off the edge of extinction to join us here today to talk about everything going on here in Survivor 41. He's coming off of putting together the widely celebrated Atlanta viewing party this week. Here is the great Rick Devins.
What's happening, Rob? I got to correct you on one thing. All I did for the Atlanta party was show up.
You showed up and you had your picture on the poster.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Ron and Davey, they took care of all the tough stuff, put together an amazing party.
It looked like one amazing event.
It is. Have you been to the Ron Clark Academy?
No, I was working with Ron. We were going to have an event there in April of 2020. That was the plan. And I had been working with Ron and we were going to do a know-it-alls at the Ron Clark Academy. And then we had to cancel it.
Well, it is the most amazing venue mm-hmm. I've ever been to. I mean, I visited it as a school before, but as a party location, it's even better. It's got one of those ceilings from Harry Potter where you're actually looking at the sky and it moves, and it's literally got dragons animated by the Game of Thrones team. Like, they made it for Ron and the Academy. It's unbelievable.
I don't even understand how that works.
Yeah, I don't either, man. It's like projectors or magic. I'm not sure, but everyone was in costume because, you know, Davey, if there's an opportunity for costumes, he's on it. So it was a really great time. T-Bird was there. Yeah. Missy was there. Sharia was there.
Yes. And so awesome. I saw you. You were Iron Man.
Yeah. A little bit of Tony Stark action coming at you. You know. It fits the bill. Mm-hmm. Billionaire, he can say philanthropist. So maybe we're not so much alike.
Yes. Yes. And I saw, and Davey was what, Hellboy?
He was Devilish Davey.
Devilish Davey. Okay.
Devilish Davey. But I can see where Hellboy would come from. The horns were top notch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I saw this morning that there was or at least when I woke up this morning, I saw that, I guess you had relayed to Steven that somebody was there in a fish Bach costume and he was turning over every stone to try to see if this momentous event had been photographed.
He was trying to track it down. I didn't have photographs because it's really hard getting my phone out of my Iron Man costume.
Mm-hmm.
So I described it to him in detail. Yeah, the Bach, you know, he had the wig. He's dressed up. He's there with his fish. Now, what drove me nuts, Rob, these two were so pleasant. Everyone there was amazing. But these two were on the wrong side of each other all night.
Yeah.
All night they were Bach fish.
Bach fish.
Like, yeah, come on, guys. A big part of this costume, you got to be on the right sides. But there were a couple great Survivor costumes. One was a broccoli tree.
Oh, nice.
Complete with Brad wig. One was the Ghost Island, the Ghost of Pearl Islands.
The Ghost of Pearl Islands?
It was like Ghost Island, Pearl Islands. It was a pirate ghost, but it was something. Okay. And then Macedonian Jesus was there in honor of George and our Australian Survivor friends.
Yes. Wow. There were Australian Survivor costumes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yes.
It had everything, even costumes from down under.
Yes.
Shannon would have approved.
Rick, I know this is a momentous week for you also because that your Atlanta Braves are in the World Series.
It is. I laugh at myself because I'm like, this is what I worked so hard mm-hmm. for. I rooted so hard for.
It's the same as the Atlanta viewing party of the you just showed up. Yeah,
exactly. That's kind of just how I roll, Rob. Even today on this podcast, I just showed up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing, but it's so stressful. I mean, there's so much on the line with every single pitch. You sit there and you're like, am I enjoying this?
I wouldn't know.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a good distraction from football as well.
Rick, have you gotten any menacing messages from notorious Houston Astros fan Russell Hance?
I have not gotten any messages from Russell Hance, but Russell and I have never once been in contact. Yeah. Okay. He and I run in different circles.
Yeah, well, I think I had one here for you. I'm going to play this. Oh. So let's check the voicemail. Rick Devins, it's me, Russell Hance, the Atlanta Braves. They ain't nothing. It's the Houston Astros, baby. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Russell coming at me. I'm excited he knows my name.
I don't even like that little A hat.
You know, you can come at me, but don't come at my little A hat, Russell, with your H running around Houston. such a big spread out city. Come on. We're tight, compact here in Atlanta. Here in Atlanta, about an hour and a half north of me.
All right. Well, Rick, let's talk some Survivor 41. And boy, the people are just, everybody is just loving the show this week.
Edge of Extinction twist, not so bad now, huh? You know, I was joking with people that the twist, you know, it's not a merge. It's going to be them coming back from the Edge of Extinction. And everyone's like, groan, groan. And now they're like, I wish. Mm-hmm. Like, if we could have Brad or JD back instead of this hourglass.
Yeah. So, Rick, when you're at the viewing party, what's the setup there? Is it more like, is it more party than viewing? Like, are you able to follow what's going on at the during the episode?
This is what was amazing about Ron and about the Ron Clark Academy is every viewing party I've been to, it's impossible to follow the episode.
Yeah.
But for this one, it's like, you know, everyone's drinking, talking, having a good time for like an hour and a half. And then he ushers us in to the giant assembly hall with a full movie screen to watch it. We're all in our movies, you know, seats. It was a really great viewing experience. And then during commercials, he had Q&A. Like, it was great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then, all right, you see, I'm just curious in terms of like, you know, all these different, you know, parties are different. And when we do the live know-it-alls, you know, everybody takes it very seriously. Like, nobody's allowed to talk during the episode. It's very, yeah, you know.
It was pretty locked down. It was pretty locked down once it would come back from commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's your opinion on, you know, all of this from this week?
All of this, just like,
yeah, just overall big picture.
To quote our great friend Bryce Isaiah, it is a lot. It's just every week I think all of us, you know, and it's still, you know, the greatest show, but like every week I think all of us are just going, there can't be more. Mm-hmm. Like there can't be more, right? And there just is. And I think it's really hard to keep track of as viewers. I think a lot of casual viewers who ride with things like Edge of Extinction, because they're easy to understand, are just really confused.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it as a player and I'm just like, what do they want from me as a player? On my season, you know, I'm rewarded if I go out and I hustle to find an advantage, or I'm rewarded if I work hard, I win a challenge. But now I don't know what they want from players. Like I'm just as likely to find an advantage sitting by a fire, or do I even want an advantage? If I win an immunity, I don't know if I really want it. So I feel like they're promoting passive gameplay in the future. So I really don't know what they're going for.
Yeah, that's a great point in terms of like where, you know, you have this twist where that the people that won the challenge, they are very well, they're going to be on the wrong side of the, like, actually, you shouldn't have won the challenge because Erica's going to flip it, where like the beware advantage, you know, similarly, as you're alluding to, that you're penalized for at least that said beware. Like, this wasn't called like, right, okay, we're having a beware challenge, win it or don't, you know, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. You know, it's like the let's make a deal of like, you might get zonked here if you win.
Right, exactly. And it's, at least they fed them. Like, yeah, they don't have to give the food back, which is nice. But correct me if I'm wrong, like, Erica's deciding if she's safe or not, right?
I believe so. And again, this was a little bit unclear, but I believe that she would basically, like, be taking Nasir's spot, where Nasir was somebody who got the merge buff, went to go eat, would be safe from the vote. I think that she would be sort of, like, going back in time, changing the course of history. Mm-hmm. And she would then be in the position where she would be safe, from what I understand.
See, and I just don't know how that is a choice under any circumstance. Like, I've seen some people make the argument like, oh, if it was Danny or if it was Nasir, because it's a blind rock, like, it would make sense for them to keep their team safe. But it doesn't, because then you have to go to this whole other group of people who doesn't have your back, and you have to tell them to their face, like, I'm choosing to make you unsafe along with myself. Like, why wouldn't they vote you out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who, you'd be crazy to do that. You'd be putting yourself in so much jeopardy unless you have an idol. And you might think that that keeps you safe, but they can take that from you too.
So I want to be like very specific, because I don't want to like come across as like being like a hater and like, oh, like, see, right, they hate, they hate us because they ain't us. they ever, you know, oh, they, nobody likes anything. I have to say that I feel like similar to your podcast co-host on Surviving Snyder, Dalton Ross, that he wrote this all out. He had a very nuanced take in his recap this week where he said that, you know, I like the idea of half the people are going to be safe, the other half of the people are going to be up for elimination. And I felt the same way, that was an interesting idea, something that they haven't done before. But then when you add in this idea that Erica has the chance to just completely flip it, now you are punishing the people who you told in good faith that you were going to be immune if you won this challenge.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm with you. Like, they're trying new things, which I always love. I mean, that's the reason it's been around so long. And I think some of the new things they're trying, they're doing it for good reasons. Like, I think some of it is like, certainly when we were out there, you take for granted there's going to be a swap at some point. Like, you take for granted that, you know, when you drop your buffs, like, you get to go eat. It's good. You get to party. So I feel like some of the stuff they're doing this season, it's like, oh, we're going to make them stay with this tribe and really hurt. You know, they got rid of strength. Well, they're going to keep losing, keep losing, keep losing. You know, they take for granted that they're getting fed at the merge. Like, not this season. It's tough. You're not necessarily getting fed. Like, I like that stuff. But yeah, they just... you know, I always think of Project Runway, like Tim Gunn, who I love, when he talks about accessorizing, he's like, put everything on and then take one thing off. And I feel like Survivor this season, like, they spent the whole quarantine, like, making accessories, and then they just like kind of threw them all on there. And you might've needed it if you didn't have such a dynamic cast, but like, this cast can carry a season. So now it seems like too much.
It's funny that you went with Project Runway. That I was thinking, I recently watched the Great British Bake Off on the Nothing But Netflix podcast that I do with Chappelle. And I was just thinking of, like, sometimes like they'll taste it and they're like, there's too many flavors in this. I don't know. Like, this is too overpowering. You should have picked like one direction of like, this is the kind of cake we're making. And then just let it be that. Because when you have so many things in it, you sort of like lose the flavor that you're going for.
Yeah. It's like we were all tricked into thinking this season didn't have a theme, that it was just Survivor 41, but it's actually Survivor 41 Advantages.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that it's the, it doesn't have a theme. It has every theme. Yeah, it's right. Your every theme bagel. Seeds, right. Baby. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It just turns out to be a whole lot. That being said, like, one highlight from this episode was that challenge. I mean, we've never seen it before. It was awesome to watch. And then it was like really harrowing watching the yellow team like compete and make it close. And Ricard really shined at the, like, he's bleeding as he solves the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a great challenge to watch. I just wish that it mattered. It's almost like watching a great World Series game, and then, you know, Rob Manfred comes out and he's like, oh, you know, this is Erica. She's got something to tell you guys. It's wild.
So let's go to Erica and let's go through, you know, okay, this is what it is, you know. So this is the dilemma that Erica faces. She has the chance to be able to break the hourglass, and then she could ultimately decide which group is going to be safe. And as I was getting ready to talk to you today, I was thinking about that. Is this in any way similar to the experience that you were in, where that you basically, you got voted out by your tribe? They sent you to the edge, and then all of a sudden now you have now come back into the game, and the people that you were with, you know, wanted to, like, hey, oh, good, you're back. Work with us. And what did you say?
Well, I said, after they voted against me, the second time is when I said,
I really
want to work with you guys. I reserved that till after the second time they voted for me. But no, I mean, you're absolutely right, though. Like, I came in and I didn't want to get them out. Like, I was totally open to working with them again until Rob and Julie told me they were gunning for me. But like, I had also, if I had never been voted out, I would have gone in so less you strong. But after I came back, I was like, I'm a free, like guilt free, free agent. And I'm sure that's how Erica is. And at the same time, like, you're looking at the tribe, you know, people are like, oh, can she send them to the tribal because so many are on her side? Like, don't they have the numbers? Like, they shouldn't be in any trouble, right? Like,
yeah, if they stuck together,
if they're really Luvu strong, then she's like, go take care of business. Go get rid of one of them. Like, it's doing them a favor to send them to tribal.
Yeah. Do you think that that's how she could potentially spin it, where it's like, hey, great, Luvu, but it's all you. Go ahead. I mean, and she has no
100%.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because she has a relationship with Shan, or I'm sorry, no, with Evie or with Ricard.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, guys, not only would I definitely be voted out if I didn't keep myself safe, but this is good for our numbers. Like, what an easy way to take one of them out. And then we get back together and there's one less person to worry about. You're welcome. Like, go to, like, it's a no brainer. Like, you guys should be cheering for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point. And I feel like that she could say, like, I did this for us.
Yeah. And that's the way they should see it. Like, good job. If they do want to say Luvu strong, Luvu, can you give it to me?
I think it's Luvu.
Luvu strong. Then yeah, it's a terrific opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm. Do you see any scenario where she doesn't break the hourglass?
No. Even the way it's presented to her.
Yeah.
It's like, here's this historic moment. And she says to us, like, everyone's watching, you know, and she's not talking about like the tribe people. Like, she knows that if she didn't break it, people would be disappointed. So I don't think there's any universe she doesn't break it.
Mm-hmm.
Much less like strategically for a game. It makes no sense not to break it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it bother you that the breaking of the hourglass metaphor here?
I saw something. I don't know where I wish I could give credit to who I saw that talked about how this season was hilarious because it kept using things in inappropriate ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here are dice, but you don't roll them. You stick them in the, like, here's an hourglass, but you don't flip it. You break it. Like, this isn't how these things are designed to be used.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that it's time travel. Like, that's kind of neat. Like, I think the idea is cool. I just think that the power they chose is wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What should it have been?
Maybe you pick tribe, like they split into two tribes and then she gets sent away and she can either go back to the one tribe or she can flip it back and you randomly do tribes again. So you spend a whole day with, or a whole 2 days with people while she's on the island. And then maybe you get switched again.
Mm-hmm.
That could be fun.
Maybe it should have just been like sort of like a lever or like a button that she pushes instead of like breaking an hourglass. Oh, you're
asking instead of the hourglass.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why not? Yeah. Let me read this to you because this was a question that we got for you, which I thought was a very interesting one. And it comes from one of our listeners, Preston. And this came out of your podcast co-host, Dalton Ross's interview that he does like a Q&A occasionally with Jeff Probst. And so this was one of the weeks that he did one. And so he had asked, he was talking with Jeff about an idea that Jeff had for a proposed twist that they could have used for this season. And so Jeff said, the first question is a survivor Sophie's choice. I can't bear the thought. I told you, I love this group of players. I have no favorites. I'm sorry. This was if they were going to potentially like do something like to bring players back. Jeff said, the first question is a survivor Sophie's choice, and I can't bear the thought. I told you, I love this group of players. I have no favorites. I hate every tribal. And he said, okay, go on to page two. But in the spirit of the question, let's say we decided we were going to give out all of the first five voted players a second shot. Here's a version of the twist that we might throw up on the whiteboard to consider. Okay. At the start of the game, all of the players are going to be told that the first five players out will have one chance to get back in the game. When that day arrived, we'd march them back in, just like the beloved Edge of Extinction twist. It's interesting that Jeff calls it the beloved Edge of Extinction twist. When we explain that they will compete together as one tribe in an epic challenge against six random players still remaining in the game, if they win, one of them will ultimately earn their way back into the game. But this challenge would require six players, so they get to choose one player still in the game to join their new tribe. So say they get to choose the player they think that will most help them win the challenge. Then one last twist to complicate matters. If they lose, the player they chose to help them is out of the game. What do you think of that?
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I like it more than some of the twists they have this season, because there's a lot of strategy involved. Like, yeah, you actually get to make, like, the decision is in the players. Sucks for the person they choose to be on their team. But that being said, like, we would have chose Joe Anglim and we probably would have won.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we're sitting there with myself, Underwood, and Joe Anglim, like, we're going to crush anybody in there.
And it's interesting that he says random people. So I don't know if it would have been just like drawing rocks at, like, I mean, I think that the goal of production is they you know, more than the players, they root for the twists. They want their twists to work. So
yeah,
in that scenario, I'm like, because if it didn't work, not only would you lose like all of the people that were already eliminated, but also you're going to lose a player from the main game. So basically, you're going to be short two people in your calculus if you're assuming that somebody's coming back. And then also you have so many players left in the game. So I think it's going to also throw off the calendar if it didn't work. How upset do you think the fans would be to see somebody just pulled from the game by the players who were already eliminated to compete in this challenge and then have that person go out?
I think they'd be real upset. I think you want people on Survivor to go out for a reason. Like, and the reason that person would go out is like, we thought they were good at challenge and could help us. Like, that's not bad gameplay on that person's part at all. Mm-hmm. That's not him or her getting taken out because they're big. I say him because, of course, I'm thinking of Joe, who was like the main challenge guy on our season. But like, so I don't think you want to see someone taken out randomly like that. Like, you want it to be someone played something, or someone got the votes together, or someone made a strategic bad or good decision. So I don't think people would be happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, compared to some, you know, Fishback's been very, very loud about like just needing to have that decision-making process be on the castaways. And in a very real way, it's like, at least it would have that with the group off the island. But I feel like that person getting chosen needs to have some skin in the game. Like, you can go join them, but, and if you win, you get this, you know, like what does that person stand to benefit?
Yeah. Rick, going back to the decision that the people that are going to have to go and be vulnerable, do you feel like that is everybody going to get to vote, or do you think that just the players who are vulnerable will get to vote? Like, will the other group just get to attend tribal council or not attend tribal council? How do you think this is all going to work?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I was taken for granted, I guess, that I thought it was just the vulnerable group. I keep forgetting.
I did the same thing.
Strategy would have worked
the other night on Know It Alls, and then I thought about. But yeah, I wonder: are all 12 players getting to vote?
Yeah, I guess if they just have immunity, they would still get to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well that changes the way I think about that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess that's important to know. I wonder if they know.
Yeah. So in that case, if everybody gets to vote, does that change the equation a little bit of in terms of who you think could be the most vulnerable from this group, where we have Danny, Deshaun, Nasir, Sydney, Evie, and Ricard?
Yeah, for sure. That changes the equation for me, because the way I was thinking about it, that it was just that group, it would have been Evie or Ricard for sure. I would think that Luvu was out. And now I'm thinking about it in hindsight, and it's like, oh, they were already talking about how they're going to turn on Erica. So yeah, I think it must be the whole group that votes for sure. And that does change it, because if you're either of the other two tribes, like, Luvu's got to be the big target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe you want to take out a Luvu person. And does one of those people jump out? Do you think that maybe Nasir could be in danger?
I think he's in a huge amount of danger. I think the fact that, you know, Liana has the power that she does, mm-hmm. and that she knows exactly who has the idols because they had to say the secret phrases, puts a huge target on his back, and he doesn't realize that.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know who knows that he has the idol, but he certainly doesn't know that they can take it from him. So even if he feels nervous, like, he's in a lot of trouble.
That's very interesting. And I do feel like that this is going to be like a very complicated merge, you know, for Liana. You know, she has a lot of different allegiances. I mean, she has her original alliance at Yasa, and we saw Danny have that moment with Evie, where Danny sort of said, like, oh, hey, like, oh, you know, we thought you were voting out all of the men from the game. And
he
like,
just came out and said,
he just said it. He said, you know, nobody thought to ever do that before. Just say it. outside of maybe heroes versus villains. And so he just came out and said it. And so I would have to think that Danny is going to be on Evie's radar after what he said there. But we saw that there was the alliance that was formed between the black players who are left, where Liana is a part of that alliance with Danny. So I don't think that Liana is going to be so quick to want to vote Danny out of the game. We saw that Tiffany was talking with her about how, like, hey, we got to take away somebody's advantage, you know, and there's a Nasir is somebody who, if Liana has changed her mind about wanting to take away Xander's advantage, well, okay, I could steal Nasir's idol and he could be somebody that we go after. But I wonder, would Danny and Deshaun, who don't want to vote out a man and probably don't want to vote out somebody from Luvu, would they be on board to potentially go after Nasir?
And then if you go in the way back machine, Evie and Deshaun had an agreement.
That's true. I forgot
when
all
they
about
met
that.
Out
yes.
There.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, clearly Danny is really nervous about the females in the game.
Mentioned it multiple times.
Right. Like, I think that's by far his number one concern. And I definitely think that'll be at odds in what Shan and Liana want to do, because it seems like their strongest relationships outside of Ricard are with women in the game. So obviously Danny doesn't want anyone coming for Nasir. Like, he'd rather Xander for Nasir, but mm-hmm. I'm sure he'd be going, why Xander? Why can't it be Evie? If you're willing to go against your own person, since mm-hmm. he's, you know, that's someone who's in his sights. So I think you're right. I think it's going to be really complicated. And I think we could see, you know, a lot like with the Big Brother season, where, you know, these players, the black players that we see coming together, are going to have to decide whether they're going to sacrifice their individual game for this bigger thing. Cause I think they're absolutely going to have different people they want to work with, just like in Big Brother. And we'll kind of see what happens, but they, you know, that's a lot on, you have to remember when this was filmed and that they were in the middle of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've heard from my inside sources that, like, one of the very few channels they could get in 2 weeks of quarantine was the George Floyd trial.
Oh,
and they
wow.
go straight into the game from that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure, just like the Big Brother cookout, where it's like, even if you want to go play your own game, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how they navigate all that.
I think that in terms of, like, the individual games, in terms of like how the game of Big Brother is played and how the game of Survivor is played, that I feel like that a random, especially in Survivor 41, a random thing can happen that could, you know, take somebody out of the alliance, where the cookout had the mission of like, hey, we're the six, we're going to get to the final six in, you know, and like, Xavier got put up on the block because of the, you know, one of the twists, and, you know, there was like some weirdness there, but there's so many more variables that can pop up of somebody plays an idol. You got one vote against you and you end up going home. Like I think it will be a tougher task for the four players that made the Black Alliance to become the final four in this season than it would be in Big Brother, just based on, you know, how the game works. And they don't have yet at this point like a master plan like Tiffany had, where, okay, we're going to have insurance of everybody's going to have a partner and keep our person off the block. Like, just like the random thing could happen so much more easier in a Survivor Tribal Council, especially in season 41.
Yeah, I totally agree. With all the advantages out there, all the secrets floating out there, and how quick the game is coming at you, I totally agree. But, it, you know, it is really interesting to think that this all happened, whatever happened, before Big Brother, you know, ever started filming, and that they happened totally individually, totally independent of each other. It's interesting.
Yeah. And in the game of Big Brother, like a big alliance that sticks together, like can really like inflict their will on the game in a way that like Survivor, because of all of like the variables that are out there, like it is harder for one big alliance to be able to like, you know, inflict and impose their will on the game as it is in Big Brother.
Right. You're not just throwing up two nominees you have to vote for. It's like everyone's votes are going every which way all the time. Yeah. You're never talking about two people. Someone can come up out of nowhere for sure.
Not to mention the shot in the dark and like all these other things that are going on.
Even if they. Yeah, right. Exactly. Even if you want to stick together, you know, good luck dodging all those things for sure.
Rick, I want to ask you about, you know, we saw 2 weeks in a row with Ricard and Shan about the battle back and forth between, you know, who's getting to hold the extra vote. And I wanted to know if you thought that there was any similarities between, you know, in The Edge of Extinction, that it came up a couple times about there was the shared idol. Where, okay, here's an idol, it's powerless, you have to give half of your idol to another person, and then only then is it going to be powerful. And then there were points where, you know, you had given half of your idol to David, right? And there was some time, some talk about like, you're like, hey, I'd like my half of the idol back, please. And David Wright's like, you know, I'm gonna just hold on to this still. And I wanted to
do our custody battle.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see any parallels there between, what you know, that experience of the half idols?
I definitely saw parallels. I mean, obviously, you know, I had to give him half the idol. It wasn't just an insurance thing, but then, you know, like Shan felt like, I felt like really that's mine, you know, like I gave it to you. You had to hold it for one tribal. That's the rule. And now it's mine, buddy. Like, I'll use it for us, but it's mine. So when he didn't give it back, it was a little upsetting. But unlike Shan, like, there are major differences, too. Unlike Shan, I let it go. Like, I did not press the issue. And unlike Shan and Ricard, like, I just think David's and my relationship was different. Like, there was never an implied threat to one another. Like, never at any point during our argument did I think he was coming after me or vice versa. We just wanted to go after different people. And I don't think there was ever any doubt that we'd come back together. I mean, the very next tribal, I play that idol. We put it together and I play it for David. Mm-hmm. You know, we were tight. But I also, you know, I see Shan and Ricard arguing, and it's like it gets feisty.
Yeah.
But you have to be kind of close to someone to argue that openly on Survivor. Like, I almost think it's an example of how close they are.
Oh, interesting. Like, yeah, you might say things to your family that you wouldn't say to a, you know, professional relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, when you're the last two, like, you either hate each other or you're going to be pretty locked in with each other. And I feel like that seemed like a real argument that two friends would have. Like, I'm telling you straight up what I feel. I'm responding straight up how I feel. And then afterwards, like, we can get together and hug it out.
Yeah.
And the fact that he gave the vote back, like, I feel like she should feel really good about that. I don't know if it was a great move on his part, but I think it was, I think it might've been a good move on his part. Like, I think having Shan and her extra vote is more valuable to Ricard than having just an extra vote and a Shan that's mad at you. So mm-hmm. I think they both are in a good spot, and I think they're going to move forward well. I do think they have a little bit of David Wright and Rick Devin's love, although I think David's in my love affair is greater. I gotta say.
Yeah, I was more worried about them, but you're making me feel better about Shan and Ricard.
Yeah. Do you feel like if you were out there, you would, and you really didn't want to work with Ricard, like you'd be that honest about it, or vice versa?
See, I just don't feel like I don't have like that kind of style where like I feel like that if you're my friend, like I feel like that I'm gonna we can talk this out and be able to I don't think that if I felt super close to somebody, if I was on the same wavelength as them, I don't see myself getting into that heated of a debate with them.
Well, that's where we differ. That's why you're a better player than I am. Because
people
do talk about how I got a little heated with David, and I did a little bit. Like he was much calmer. He was much more like you in that moment than I was. And then with War Dog, like I got real heated with War Dog, and I loved War Dog, and we got back together as friends. So I see a little of myself in this regard in Shannon Ricard. Not to flatter myself, you know. But like they seem like emotional players that can get over it, though.
But I think that the way I would look at it, and this is, I think, one of my flaws, that I think I would look at it like if I got into that kind of a debate with somebody out there, I would say like, oh, OK, well, now I know how they really feel about me because this is how they're acting about this. And you know, this is like, you know, it happens to me in real life, too, where it's like, OK, well, obviously, OK, now I know how this person actually feels. Because of that, they let it get to this point. But I don't think that's necessarily like what you're making a very good point. Also, that they are so close that they could have that.
Yeah, and I mean, what you're saying is very possible. True that in their heads they're going, the trust is broken. You know, the trust is broken. Now I can go against Shan guilt free, or now I can go against Ricard guilt free.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll see. I just think. At that point, you would rather have that person that you can be that open with and that you feel like you know that well than maybe like what's behind door number two.
And maybe they just need some space also.
For sure. Right. For sure. Like David and I, he got to send me away to the edge of extinction for a couple of days. So when we came back, it was fresh.
Rick, do you feel like did Shannon Ricard miss a golden opportunity in that? Should they have had Jeannie open the Beware advantage after they got back from camp, that they had now placed a fake idol? Did they miss out on some hilarious hijinks by not having Jeannie find the fake idol?
I think that might have been just too much salt in the wounds. I think that might have been just too bad. I didn't have anybody open fake idols till it was very late in the game and they had been after me for a long time. And I needed to show at that point, like I had control in the game. Like that was my only flaw, was like being on, you know, voting for people that weren't going home because they were the people that I was working with. So it's like, I wanted to go to that tribal and be like, look, I kept Gavin safe. I won immunity. I kept Chris safe. And both these people played idols that they thought were real because of me. It's like, you can't tell me I don't have control. But I think doing it this early when you know you're voting out Jeannie and you know she doesn't have anything would have been entertaining for viewers, but just really mean. And they're already, I mean, people are already saying Ricard and Chan are too mean, which I totally disagree with. Mm-hmm. But that would have been a little much.
Yeah. Rick, how did you feel about Brad?
Loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Loved watching him. I mean, so messy. So messy. And people kept comparing him to me. And I'm like, whoa, whoa. I didn't start sprinting around till late in the game when everyone was already after me. That being said, I didn't last much longer than Brad before I got voted out the first time.
Right. Although that basically like, you know, you when you went out the first time, basically that's like the point they're up to in the game now.
Yeah, right. Like halfway through the game. No, Brad was great. Brad was so much fun. Like he wore it on his sleeve. the Edge of Extinction is great because you'd get to see guys like Brad, but I'm not. Thank gosh this season doesn't have that also.
Because it would just be way too much.
That'd be a lot to take in at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have any other standouts for you this season, Rick?
Shan, obviously.
Yes.
For all the reasons I'm sure you guys have gotten into all year. Nasir, I absolutely love. Like, yeah. Every time he's on screen, he just is so happy to be playing the game. Sydney could not entertain me more if she tried. I don't know what it is about Sydney, but she's just a really fun character. Tiffany's great. Like, I really like everybody so much. Xander is, like, in his own Fabio sort of way, like, really great. I'm enjoying it. Nasir's probably the one I root for the most. I hate the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, but Danny's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun, I like every time we see him. We don't see him that much. You know, it's like the list goes on.
Mm-hmm. We will be right back with questions for Rick Devins. But first, we have to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Legacy Box. Do you wish that you could ever turn back the sands of time? Some would say even travel back in time. Well, you don't just have to go to Exile Island to make that possible with Legacy Box, because Legacy Box can help you restore memories that you have in the past from all sorts of different VHS tapes, happy media that you might have laying around, so you can be able to pass down those memories for generations, because everybody would love to see it. Legacy Box is your chance to have aging tapes, films, photos digitally preserved, so the ability to relive your family history is never lost because of a leaky pipe or summer days or just the passing of time on these delicate items that can, you know, with time wither away. Plus, this week, Legacy Box is offering 40% off at legacybox.com/Rob. So you can start future proofing your past today with Legacy Box. You get to reclaim all that priceless footage that you haven't been able to see in years. Their service couldn't be simpler. You use a kit to safely send in those moments. Their team will create a digital archive by hand right here in the USA. And then you'll receive new copies stored on the cloud, a thumb drive or a DVD, along with all of the original media that you sent in back to you. With their tracking system, you could follow every step of the process so you know your originals are being taken care of. And once you have the digital versions, you can relax knowing that they will be secure for generations. Order in minutes and enjoy forever. Visit legacybox.com/Rob to take advantage of this limited time offer of 40% off. Take advantage of this exclusive offer today and use their kit whenever you're ready. This is a great gift idea as the holidays are approaching. I did it for my mom a couple of years ago and she loved it. That's legacybox.com/Rob to save 40% off. That's legacybox.com/Rob. Rick, I have some questions for you from the listeners. Let me ask you this. A few different people had this question of from Laura Dallas. I know you don't like Dallas. What's the headline for this week's episode or the season so far?
It would be dun 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 dun. This just into the Survivor newsroom. Nasir may. Oh, breaking news. An advantage was found. We're live on the scene. It looks pretty complicated. Breaking news. Another advantage was found. This one might be even more wait. This just in. Breaking news. Another advantage. You get where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Amy Cook says, the editors have given the Shantham orchestrations a prominent part of the season in her storyline. Has someone reached out to you to orchestrate the breaking news music? Now, hold on. So I guess, and this got me thinking, I mean, Rick, weren't you the first player to come up with their own evil anthem that they were playing when they were up to mischief?
100% correct, Rob. I came up with mine first, and they did put music to it. They did the whole breaking news thing. They were great with it. So
you're the game changer.
I'm the game changer. I get that spot on Game Changers. Shan can find her own way on. That was my way on.
I mean, I feel like thematically, like that. I had dun 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 and dun 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 dun. I mean, it's basically the same thing.
It's really a match made in heaven, to be honest with you. They compliment themselves so well.
Remix. Perfect. Yeah.
But that's one instance. Like, one thing I've really enjoyed this year is the editing. I don't know who posted it. Maybe it was Dalton. Maybe it was my guy Dalton, about like them digging during the challenge.
Mike Bloom.
Yeah. Your own man. The editing this season has been a lot of fun. The Nasir moment, I thought, couldn't have been better when he said to go on AstroTurf.
Yeah. See, and that's where I feel like that, you know, I've seen interviews where Jeff says, oh, they hate everything. Like, the people hate everything. And I really, I don't think that the fans, hate everything that they try on the show. Like, I feel like there's a lot of things about the show, and the things that they've done this season, you know, besides obviously the cast, which everybody loves. But there have been things that they've done this season that people have liked, but there's just like sometimes that you can have too much of even a good thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, it's so easy when you're going back, you don't point out all the things you love necessarily, but like Jesse Tannenbaum killed it with this cast. Mm-hmm. Like, this cast is terrific. And I think if it wasn't such a good cast, maybe people wouldn't be that upset about, you know, all the things that distract from what a great cast it mm-hmm. is. The editing has been really fun. I think the backstories have been, you know, kind of fun. I think the way, because the game had to be 26 days, I think that the way they're restricting the food, the way they're doing limited rewards, that seems legit to me. Like, they'd be really hungry by day 11, hungrier than we were.
Do you like that, though, as somebody who's played recently? Like,
do you think they should do it going forward?
Yeah, does that add anything to the show for you?
What? Like, actually making it tough?
That we have to make it tough. We have to give them no food.
Yeah, I think so. I think it really affects the gameplay out there. Like, that was a big advantage I had, is that, you know, I had more energy than other people. And so I do think that if it's just going to be 26 days, they should do what they're doing. And I think it's legitimate, like, mm-hmm. what they're doing. I don't think it's the hardest season ever by any means, but mine wasn't the hardest season ever by any means, but it's still hard. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard for them. I hope it goes back to 38 days. I mean, I think, you know, it's just very compact. When they tell you how many days it is, you're like, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was 38 days for us, Rick, but there are 39 usually.
Are there? Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Yeah.
There's one other day.
Oh, well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I didn't get breakfast on my final morning.
Yeah. I mean, is that what you did? You visualized like 38 days the whole time that you were out there, and then that's what happened?
And then the second I got there, mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. Who needs this fire?
Yeah. Do you feel like, though, I guess my question is the lack of like nourishment to me as a viewer, I don't feel like it adds so much to the show, but do you feel like that just like the fact that they are like faltering, like mentally and physically, like, do you think that that is something that helps like the survivor viewing experience?
I think, yeah, I just think it's a real key tenet of what Survivor is, like, of what makes it different than Big Brother and these other things, is like, some people get out there and when it gets really bad, they thrive, and some people break down. Mm-hmm. And those elements of like not eating, not having shelter, I think are a real big part of like the stories that people go on, you know, whether you're the person who can't get control of their emotions the whole time and you learn something about yourself that, or you're the person who like at first thinks you can't do it and then realize like you can do it. I do think that a lot of those things that we like to see as viewers are very affected by how hungry a person is.
Yeah, that is a fair point. You know, I do talk about how, like, to me, it doesn't do too much. I don't care how much they eat, but I do feel like that the scarcity of the resources, I do think that that brings out something in the contestants. If you were looking for that type of like conflict between the other players, like, I do feel like that is something that contributes to that.
Yeah. And it also makes people, like, you have these moments like Sydney catching fish. Like, they didn't show it on our season, but like Aubrey brought in so many conchs. Like, she was our provider on Edge while I was there, was Aubrey mm-hmm. bringing in these conch shells. And it's like, people feel really good about themselves when they do stuff like that. Like, it really is a part of their story and their experience. And you're not doing that if you're not hungry.
All right. Let me ask you this question from Caitlin from Raleigh, from my hometown. What's going on with Sydney and Heather? We barely see anything from Heather, but last episode, Sydney says she hates Heather and can't wait to see her go.
Wouldn't you be more surprised if Sydney said she loved Heather?
Yeah. I mean, Sydney certainly did not appreciate when Heather was struggling in that challenge.
No, Sydney. I mean, Sydney's tough, man. Sydney's rough. My question is how Sydney got so beloved with the guys in that tribe, and Erica got put on the outs just for wanting to go after Sydney. Like, the dynamics in that tribe are really interesting to me.
Well, I think it goes back to back in the first episode when Nasir was like, hey, those guys are looking for the idol. And Sydney went back and narked on Nasir to Danny and Deshaun. Like, I feel like that there's a loyalty there where I think that Sydney wants to work with those guys and then she's bringing them information.
Yeah, well, and there you go in that sense. And the fact that she's getting it done in challenges, like, why wouldn't they want to keep her around?
Yeah.
But it does not surprise me that she and Heather don't get along. I can see them being dueling personalities out there.
Yeah. Did you see the secret scene that time when Erica had the dream about Sydney?
No, tell me.
She you know, for Erica, who we were like, give us anything. She had like a wild secret scene where she told everybody about how she had a dream that Sydney was stealing her torch. And she was just telling people, yeah, Sydney, I have, you know, these bad feelings about Sydney. She tried to steal my torch. And then she admitted that she made it up. She didn't even really have this dream. She just wanted to get people talking like badly about Sydney.
She admitted just to the camera?
To the camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Erica really has it out for Sydney. Like, so I wonder, how are Erica and Heather tight?
We have no idea.
Yeah. That's funny. I'd like to see more of this Sydney Erica dynamic because honestly, I don't think I would want to be on the island with Sydney. I don't think we'd be best friends necessarily. Although you never know when you actually meet the folks in person, but I want to see more of her as a viewer. Like, I think she's got Corinne vibes to me.
Yeah. I think I would enjoy being around her. Like, I feel like I really enjoy the company of eccentric personalities. I think it'll be fun.
Well, then you can have her.
the worst thing is like just people that are like boring or don't talk or anything like that. You know, you want somebody who keep it lively.
Yeah, yeah.
In podcasting and in Survivor.
No, I think she'd be a whole lot fun to hang out with. But for 26 days, I might take the nice Canadian girl. I don't mean to say that in a demeaning way in any way, but yeah, Erica just seems like a really nice, pleasant person to be around.
Rick, let me play a question for you from one of our listeners. We have a voicemail question for you, and this comes to us from Kyle. Here's Kyle.
Bom, 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 bom. Kyle from Buffalo here. Earlier this season, we heard Jeff talk about the front page of the Survivor newspaper. Just wondering if newscaster Rick has any idea of other forms of media that could be discussed on Survivor, and what would those look like? Thank you so much, and have a great day.
So, what do you think he means by other forms of media?
I don't know.
Anybody seen any good TikToks lately?
we haven't got the TikTok app next to the next to the mailbox on Survivor yet. Although we haven't seen much of tree mail this year. They don't, I guess with less challenges, they don't get as much tree mail.
Yeah. You know, Rick, I heard Tyson say does a Survivor podcast, The Pod Has Spoken. He said that on some seasons they don't even have a tree mail box, that they just give you a tree mail. Did you have tree mail in your season?
Oh yeah, we had tree mail. We had tree mail. You'd go and get it out of the box. And of course, you know, that's just the target for everybody to dig around for idols thinking they're there. Ron on his like very first day was digging around by tree mail and found his advantage, his infamous advantage. So yeah, we didn't get the Survivor newspaper. That's why we had to do a Survivor newscast my season. So, it's not, I guess that's part of the new era of Survivors that they're getting the paper now. I don't know if that's forward thinking, a newspaper, but
yeah. that I guess Jeff doesn't ask like what's the Survivor like news cast? Like, I guess that's you've cornered the market on that.
I have. Although it's like, how many newscasts did I have to do on the show, and people still think I'm a weatherman? Not one time did I talk about the weather.
Is that what people think, that you were a weatherman?
Oh, all the time. Oh, put the weatherman Devins back on there. It's like, you were paying close attention. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The people who think I'm a weatherman, you think they're keeping track of what's going on this season?
Yeah. That, would you consider becoming a weather person?
Oh, sure. It's the easiest job in the world. You don't have to do anything. You just point at a green screen and read Siri.
Like, wow.
I'll be a weatherman right now. It's here in Macon. It's going to be 59 today, high of 60, cloudy all day. So if you have yard work to do, might be a great day to do it once the grass dries out. Back to you at the news desk, where the real work happens.
Rick, is there a rivalry in the news team between because you seem a little dismissive of the weather people, between weather, sports, news?
Yeah, there. I mean, see, here's the thing, is weather people have the easiest job in the world, but they're the most self-important people in the world. Mm-hmm. They're like, you guys are delivering the news. That's cute. You know, you're out working, you know, the reporters go out hours at a day putting together these packages. It's just a grind. The weather people are like, we're saving lives. Yeah. Lives. You, how would they know that tornado is coming? Would they, you know, check their phone, listen to the radio, look out the window? No, we're saving their lives. And that wouldn't be so bad, except the weather people are also the most popular people at the station by far. Like, everyone knows the weather people. Everyone loves the weather people. So we just stew in our jealousy, working our long hours while they put together like graphics. They're like, look, I have a ghost on October 31st. Isn't that amazing? And we're like, two people were killed. We're talking to the victims' families, you know.
Wow,
it's rough,
Rick. You know? I wasn't expecting this to get so real.
I told you, I get emotional, Rob. I can't. This is why I relate to Ricard and Chan.
Mm-hmm. Rick, do you think that we could build a Survivor season around Survivor news versus sports versus weather?
Bring the themes back. I think that'd be great. Mm-hmm. No, that wouldn't. Can you imagine a bunch of Rick Devins out there? There's not enough camera time in the world for news versus sports versus weather.
Yeah. Rick, did you ever know any people who are meteorologists who change their name to have like more of like a meteorologically themed name, like storm or rains or?
I don't. I've been with some great meteorologists: Daniel McFarland, Felicia Combs, Clinton Bourgeois, Tyler Southard. You know, all good, strong weather names, but no one ever changed it.
Yeah,
that would have been good. I mean, mm-hmm. Tyler Sunny, that could be nice.
Yeah.
Daniel McStormy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would your weather name be?
My weather name? Probably Stormy Daniels.
No, that's taken.
Is that taken? It just sounds good. Rolls off the tongue. Don't Google that.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go back to the hourglass of it all. Arlo wants to know, do you think that Erica's dilemma would have been a better scenario for the pairwise Shipwheel Island? What if Nasir and Erica would be exiled to Shipwheel Island, both not immune, and they could risk their safety by switching or keeping their vote status quo? I mean, is there anything that they could have done of like, okay, one of you goes into the game, like one of you like will have to vote, but you get an extra vote. The other person like could be safe, but doesn't get to vote.
That'd be interesting, because at least we'd get to hear them discuss it, like figure out kind of where their head's at, who they're close to, how they think the vote would go. That would be interesting. The fact that it was totally random takes a little bit out of it for me too. Like if they had, you know, chosen teams or something and Erica was the last, it's like, then she has a real vendetta. Yeah, I don't know. I think anything that would have put kind of more emphasis on this, the decision making of the castaways, I might have liked a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I feel like that with this Shipwheel Island, like I really feel like that. What I haven't liked about this is that every scenario was just sort of like the same, where it seems like that people just come in right away. It's like, all right, I need this, you need this. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Right. Like,
they cracked the code so early.
They cracked the code so early, where I feel like that if you kept it different every single time and like made it be maybe not even like a blind decision, but like a negotiation, I guess you could end in sort of like the blind decision, but I just feel like that, you know, keeping it different every single time and letting the players know what they were going to be negotiating about, I think would have probably helped that.
Yeah.
Mix it up.
Yeah. Mix it up. Keep them on their toes a little bit. And you know, they might not have expected every single tribe's person to go back and spill the beans, like almost exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Mixing it up would have been good. Cause it definitely, you know, when they go to Shipwheel Island, it's like the stuff that comes out of it, we'll see how it could be really interesting the way it plays out. But it was definitely kind of, for me, each time it's like, oh, you know, here we go. Yeah. Although then they gave us great moments, like the Shan Liana moment was at Shipwheel Island, and that was really terrific. So.
Yep. And Liana got that advantage. Jacob has a question about it. One could say the edge was an unfair advantage, even though it got some great players out of the show. What is Rick's opinion on Liana and Erica's advantage? Nothing wrong with them as people, but to take someone's idol away, to take someone's group immunity away, what is next? You could win individual immunity and someone could take that away. All right. So Jacob has a lot to say there. Do you like the knowledge is power advantage?
That's the one Liana has?
Yes.
No, I don't. I think it's too powerful. I think the fact that you can take it from someone is just too much. Like, if it was just that you find out that they have one. But especially when you pair it with the fact that you have these code words that people have to say publicly, there's really no question who has the idols.
Yeah.
At that point. So it just becomes way too powerful. It's like Edge was powerful, but not nearly this. I mean,
yeah.
You have half an idol. You need someone to cooperate with you, which she does not, which Erica does not. You know, Underwood never would have been safe if I hadn't been, you know, the guy who gave him that half of the idol back.
Yeah.
And then it's over. Like, that's it. And we know you're coming back from Edge. This is just...
Yeah,
a lot.
Let me share with you a great question I got. I did a Discord stage, which is like a clubhouse with the patrons on Thursday night. And somebody asked me this question of, what if somebody has a fake idol? Okay, they don't know it's a fake idol. And then Liana says, okay, Rick, got any idols? Like, okay, yeah, you got me. Okay, now... Do you think production will step in and say, hold on a second, Liana, that actually Rick does not have an idol, or do they let Liana take your idol that you thought was real, and now she has it, she thinks it's real, but when she goes to go play it, it's actually a fake idol?
I actually brought this up on Surviving Snyder at one point, that I really wanted Genie to find the fake one and then Liana to use it and then it to be fake. I think it says in capital letters, the player cannot lie.
Yeah.
So I think if they are not lying, that they would let the person take the fake idol and play the fake idol.
Yeah. Because
that's the entertainment value that's the best.
In Survivor Ghost Island, Dominic Abate got an advantage, and the advantage that he got was that here's David Wright's fake idol that he made from Survivor 33. It's not a real idol, but you can use it to trick people. So I guess in that scenario that he would know it was a person would know it was a fake idol. So like, if you have a fake idol And then you say, okay, I have an, like, it, is a fake idol an advantage or is it an idol? This is another question. Yeah. I think it's like a good question. And then if somebody says, do you have an idol? It's like, no, I have an advantage. It's a little bit like, that where these rules are very complicated. Like, I don't know, like what, like, do you have any sense of, and I don't know how complicated things ever got in season 38, but like, what would happen? Like, is there like some sort of like a timeout where like production huddles up and it's sort of like they do a booth review?
I think that my guess, and I do kind of have
the league like office makes a call from New York.
My guess is that, you know, Liana is asking all these questions when she gets pulled aside for her interviews with the individual producers, she's like, what about this? What about this? And they're either telling her or not, but whatever she's asking and thinking is getting back to the big decision maker. So then they're like, she's thinking this, how are we going to handle this? When it happens.
So she's not even asking the question of like, what happens if Xander has a fake idol? Like, she's like, I'm going to steal Xander's idol. I think he has an idol. And then the production is like, okay, Xander has a fake idol. What are we doing here?
I think
let's let it play.
Yeah. Cause I was asking with Ron's thing when Ron gave me the fake advantage,
right?
I'm asking them all these questions and they're like, you basically got to figure out.
Rick, can you just reset that? So Ron Clark gave you his like half of the legacy advantage that was expired, correct?
Right. He had cut off the bottom that said when it expired. So all it had was like, you can use this as an immunity. You can use this as, you know, whatever. And so he gives that to me and I just have what's on there. So I have all these questions about, you know, them, because I don't know if it's real. So I'm trying to figure out, like, how can I play this? When do I do? Just like, you know, rules questions that would be on the board and Monopoly. And they're not telling me. It's basically like, you got to figure it out. You know, when you get to tribal, you can do this and that. But because I asked them all these questions, and of course, they're asking me, like, you have this advantage now. Are you thinking, you know, every time after you get an advantage, of course, every time you talk to them, they're like, have you thought about the advantage? Like, you know, they want to see where your head's at. And then they take that and I'm sure it can kind of figure out from there. And then I'm sure Jeff is making a lot of the stuff still on his toes, but he's really good at that.
Mm-hmm. Rick, Jacob also asked the question, does Rick think that the Yellow Tribe doing the challenge was the greatest example of teamwork in the entire game?
You know, I actually think maybe so. Maybe so. Those teams were not even at all. The blue team was totally stacked.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking last night on our Surviving Snyder podcast about how digging challenges out there are actually like the most exhausting challenges.
Almost
ever.
Killed, like, Beast Mode Cowboy.
Exactly. Almost killed like half that cast, right? And they're out there digging. They got that huge ball. Again, just an awesome thing. So I think that the fact that they got up there, and when you really looked at how they did it, like Shan's reaching down to Xander, Heather's pulling back on Shan, like it really was great teamwork. Although then when they got to the top, it sounded like it wasn't great teamwork. Like they were saying it's Merge Feast and it wasn't heard.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as some of Jeff's like exaggerations go, I don't think this one was that ridiculous.
Rick, did you feel like that Jeff was as supportive of the Lesu tribe's struggles in the challenges? Did you feel like that, you know, Jeff was encouraging and as supportive of your tribe?
I did not. And I say being out there and watching, I miss the sarcastic Jeff. And I think, you know, he's in a moment too. Like people are, especially when they film this, like very sensitive, like there was a lot going on, you know, we're all quarantined, like we're trying to get back out in the world. Like maybe people weren't ready for Mean Jeff, you know, and he knows this cast quarantined for 2 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like he is probably treating them with baby gloves a little bit, you know. I hope the meaner Jeff comes back. Fans got to give him a break. Fans can't attack him when he's mean to people and then get upset when he's too nice.
Mm-hmm.
I love those snide comments. And I love when people yelled back at him, like Vic yelled back at him in our season. That's why she's wild Vic. Like,
what'd she say?
She'd be like, Jeff, I'm here too. Or like, you know, and then Jeff would be like, Vic, way in the back. And she'd be like, thanks, Jeff. Thanks a lot. You know, and it's like a fun thing. So I'd start really worrying if he was like, oh, let's do, you know, Wentworth being really brave going down. That's when in your head you're like, wow, we suck. We're in trouble. You know,
Edward Morris wants to know, will Rick be taking his talents to the challenge? Rick, would you ever consider competing on the challenge?
I don't think the challenge would ever consider me, but no, I couldn't do it because of the heights. Honestly, if they invited me, I'd go in a heartbeat in terms of like the drama and the drunkenness and the younger people. No problem. I'd love it. I'd have the time of my life, but I can't do heights.
Oh, really? Okay. Nah. That you have a debilitating fear of heights?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Like I couldn't do Survivor Australia because of some of their stuff. Mm-hmm. Gavin wants me to do Amazing Race. And, you know, not that we're invited, but he's like, do Amazing Race. And I'm like, 2-hour penalty. Every time we get to a heights, 2-hour penalty. We're not even trying it. Like I can't walk across bridges very well.
Mm-hmm.
Fishback was harassing me about this the other night.
Yes.
He won this. Yeah.
Yes. Why? What came up that there was some talk of like you were going to walk over a bridge?
We were playing. We have a standing Fortnite date, Gavin, yes, and our buddy Adam and Fishback and I. And we were playing and we talked about me not being able to do something because of heights. And then Gavin told the story of when we visited Chris Underwood in Greensboro, North Carolina. They had this big bridge that we were walking across. Like it was Julie from my season and her husband, Mark, and Carly and Gavin and Beck and I. And they're like strolling across. And I had to be just like, I'll see you at the end. And just like walk right down the middle, like through crowds of people, because I'm not getting close to the side. Like I make them go across me, like basically sprinted across this bridge, because I get so uncomfortable. Yeah, it's pathetic.
So I wanted to ask you about your frenemy Stephen Fishback, because it made a lot of headlines last week where. Stephen Fishback had just been watching Squid Game. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I could.
I'm doing you a favor here, Rob.
Just if I could bring up all of this. So basically, Stephen Fishback talked about how Squid Game was just so bleak. Bleak, bleak, bleak. And just when you think it can't be any more bleak, it's even more bleak. And you cracked back on Stephen Fishback.
I did. I shouldn't have. It's a huge mistake. But I have to remind myself, I started this.
Yes. What did you say to him? You said that basically that there was that. Did you get to the part where they have to do a slingshot challenge and they hit the wrong target?
Bleak. Bleak. And then Steven woke up that morning and chose violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Okay. And he wrote back, you do terribly in Squid Game because once you're eliminated, you can't come back. And Twitter went nuts.
Twitter went so nuts liking it and going, oh, that I got texts from Steven like, hey, whoa.
He apologized.
He didn't apologize.
Yeah.
Nor should he. I started it. Mm-hmm. But he was like, I didn't even think it was that good of a comeback. I thought it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
No, it cut deep.
Mm-hmm.
Although, spoiler alert, you know, Squid Game.
Yes.
Right? I mean, all right, spoiler alert.
What are you going to spoil?
He didn't die. The dude came back.
Yeah.
I'm like the old guy in Squid Game. I came back, and in the end, I got close, but I didn't win.
all right. Might have to bleep that. That might be too much. That I wasn't sure whether you.
I said spoiler a couple
you did,
times.
You did say
you encouraged
you did,
me.
You did say no. That's not encouraged. That's not encouraged.
He said what? Tell
me. Well, I guess I was asking for DTS to find the spoiler.
DTS.
Yeah. Like what were you going to spoil?
Oh, well,
it was a good point. It was apt comparison. Okay. This is a question from Ben F., who says, which survivors, season 41 or past, would go furthest in Squid Game? Who would be out in the first round? Now, Peridium made a video about this recently.
That's, I look at Squid Game, and I'm like, who... I don't want to give spoilers away again.
Well, but there's not much more.
The businessman guy who like, they try to turn into the villain. Like, that dude was Richard Hatch. Like, he was playing the game before people knew how to play the game.
Yeah, Rick Devins would not do great in the bridge walk.
Oh, my God. I would be like, just shoot me. Please, I'm much less.
You'd much rather be shot, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did they do the bridge walk? Like, did they rig it for the old guy? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand a lot of it.
Yeah. I don't think he was there at that point. Like, the other game was before that. Anybody stand out for you from season 41 that would be particularly strong in the Squid Game?
Shan.
Yeah.
Shan, the assassin pastor. if death was really involved, I don't think she'd be good. But if she could put that part aside, like, she'd definitely be crushing some people out there. I bet Tiffany would be good at the Squid Game. The way she handled Xander, you don't think she could work her way to the end of the Squid Game?
Yeah. Okay.
What do you think?
I think that she would be pretty good. I'm not sure necessarily. I'm trying to think like match her up with the actual games, but she's a tough customer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're thinking about the actual Nasir competitor.
Oh, yeah. Nasir. I mean, yeah. I'd put my money on Nasir. Yeah.
But I think Nasir would be like one of the guys that voted to end the games and let's just survive. Mm-hmm.
Let's just go home. Let's see. How about Tommy Guam? Yes.
Shout out, by the way, to Nasir's wife on Twitter.
Yes.
Great follow. She's been awesome.
Yeah. Well, speaking of wives on Twitter, Tommy Guam wants to know, is Becca Devins going to do any wand offs? She did one once, right?
She did a famous Keith one. And I don't know. I don't know if she's going to do any wand offs. She does like this cast. She's been very busy. COVID making the life busy still for medical workers. But if temptation hits, she'll be sending it Wiggler and Rob's way. That's for sure.
Okay. Yeah. We had our first wand off of the month of this past week.
It's so good to have you and Wiggler wanding again. Warms my heart like Nasir finding an idol.
Rick, what else? Anything else from Survivor 41?
I think that I just keep having to remind myself that it's one thing to compare Survivor 41 to like other Survivor seasons because it's my favorite show of all time. And like those seasons are my favorite things of all time. It doesn't come up well in those comparisons, but when I compare it to literally any other reality TV show, still, it's not even close. Like, I'll take this messy Survivor over anything else that's out there. So I do hope they pull back. I worry because season 43 42 is already filmed. But I think they listen. Like, I don't think there's any doubt that they're hearing the feedback they're getting and the feedback seems to, like, you don't really hear the other side of the argument on some of these things. So I think we just got to roll with them. I think we're going to get some really great moments still this season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And just like, you know, sometimes it's just best to just sit back and enjoy the ride.
I think that's been Jeff's message throughout the whole thing. I think the whole idea of the monster is just like, hey, like, don't think about anything. Just roll with it. Just keep going.
And it is a bummer because, like, the thing that made me fall in love with this, and I think a lot of people are like this. Like, it's a family show for me with my parents, not way before I had a family. And it's like that commercial break before Tribal. Like, my dad would always mute it, and it's like, who do you think's going home? And you'd make your argument, like, logically based on what you'd seen. And that's just really, really hard to do this season.
I'm trying to, like, compare it to, like, being a sports fan, whereas I feel like that as a sports fan, I feel like that we're very impatient and very like results oriented. And Pete Alonso, who is the first baseman for the Mets, like I feel like that, you know, people got really the Mets were had a bit of a swoon in the second half of the season. And like the Mets had lost like, I don't know, like 7 or 8 games in a row. And he was asked about it. He's like, hey, we're, you know, we're playing baseball. Like, things are like, basically he was like, you know, like enjoy it. Like, we're out here. It's great. But I think that that's like, then a hard message to take. It's like, no, we want it. We wanted you to win.
Yeah. Yeah. But here I am, a Washington football fan, who's just like, I know how bad it's going to be. And I look forward to it every week.
Mm-hmm. So yes.
I'm trained for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Look, I'm looking forward to Sunday, and God knows what's going to happen with my Jets. So I guess I have to go with at least like I'm not going to be like depressed and angry after Survivor next week.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Believe me, I was glad to be at that watch party watching Survivor and not watching Houston win game 2 of the World Series over the Braves. So hopefully the Braves turn
around
tonight.
There's more where that came from, Rick Devens.
Oh, gosh,
did you hear those garbage cans?
Yeah, do you hear those garbage cans?
Rick, that of course you host the Surviving Snyder Washington Sports and More podcast with Dalton Ross and Brendan Shapiro. Have you talked at all internally of if Daniel Snyder is forced out or sells the team? Well, will you rebrand the Surviving Snyder podcast?
We have not talked about it because we don't dare to dream.
Mm-hmm.
We don't dare to dream that big, but I imagine we'd just rename it something like the 3 happiest guys in the world talk football or something like that. Like it would just be a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Scott, when he finds out Holly's not engaged, we'd just be popping bottles, playing messages from ourselves. It would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a tough year for the Washington football team. I spoke with you all in August, and much like I had high hopes for the Jets, I was definitely sensing a lot of optimism from the group. Ryan Fitzpatrick felt like that maybe with the defense and the offense, it was all going to come together this year.
You know, much like Survivor, this was supposed to be the new era. Drop the 4, keep the 1 for the Jets and for Washington. And much like Survivor, it's providing some of the similar disappointments to the past, but also some of the similar highlights. A lot like Survivor, I love some of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they had more moments where they shined.
Yeah.
Heineke not shining when he needs to.
No.
But... who knows? Have you given up on the season yet? Because I still haven't given up on the season.
So, I mean, I have given up on a 2021 campaign in terms of like the playoff implications for the New York Jets. But I mean, I still feel like that, you know, when Zach Wilson comes back and, you know, I want to see like that, some like a sign of life from our new coach. And then hopefully, you know, some like hope for next year. So I'm like, I'm hoping for a late season rally, but I've definitely given up on potentially like a wild card berth.
In so many ways, we're looking forward to next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's always next season. That's the mantra for many things.
It gets next season earlier and earlier around here, but it's not like, I mean, watching Survivor isn't necessarily like that. It's not like, okay, well, now I'm hoping for Survivor 41 to tank so we get a good draft pick for Survivor 42.
Right. No. And again, like there's still so many great characters left and like people we haven't seen that much of. So I think there's going to be a lot of fun. Like I do think it's going to be a really entertaining ride to the end. But you know, I'm having trouble keeping track of everything that's going on.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff out there and I don't know exactly where it all is. And we haven't even seen anyone do the shot in the dark yet.
Not yet.
I've kind of forgotten. That's still 1 in 6.
Yeah. It's like the onside kick of Survivor, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like it's not likely to work, but you know, it's an option. It could happen. Yeah. And I really think that, you know, a lot of these wounds were self-inflicted from Survivor this week. I think that had they done this as a 2-part episode or like done 2 hours on Wednesday night, I think that the reaction would have been, you know, probably a lot more positive.
I think so. Yeah, it's hard to just leave it like that, especially when most people don't feel like it is a cliffhanger. Like, it's not. Mm-hmm. We feel like we know where it's going. Maybe she'll, you know, Erica will surprise us. At least Jeff warned us. Thank goodness that he told us we're not having a tribal tonight. Because I know the Ron Clark Academy might have gotten burned down. People would not have been happy about that.
I think they would have been thrilled just to have to be partying with all of you and getting to watch the episode.
Oh, well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, it would have been a good night. All right, so Rick, Surviving Snyder, the podcast you have going on. What else?
Other than that, we're just trying to, you know, keep things going around here. Our kids are back in school. They've been, you know, they got sent home for a few weeks to do online stuff earlier in the year. But
did you have a COVID scare at the school?
We did. Yeah. So they were back home.
We had one of those too.
It happens. They wear masks. Do your kids do masks all day?
Yeah, they are masked at the school.
Yeah. And you know, the kids are so great about it. Like they have no issues, but, we just keep rolling. I'm looking forward to any fans out there that are going to Hearts of Reality. Becca and I are both going to that. So I'm really excited to see everybody.
When is that this year?
That's, I think December, like the weekend around December 10th.
Yes.
So I got my buddy Gavin's finally going. And when his wife Carly said she was going, Becca said, sign me up. Yes. Cause they're like best buds. So it's going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Rick, are you still making hundreds of cameos?
I'm still, I'll tell you this much. I have not let one cameo go unfinished.
Look at you.
I cannot wait to send those videos back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the gift that keeps on giving. Cause it really is so much fun. Like, you know, it's interacting with Survivor fans, and that's like the best part about all this.
And do you have big Halloween plans this weekend?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got the Iron Man costume back.
Get your money's worth.
Juju's a ghost. Jack is Deadpool.
And oh wow. We got,
his buddy Miles is staying with us this weekend. Now, so
how old is Jack?
Jack is 7.
Has he watched Deadpool?
He has only watched Deadpool 2. He didn't see no, I'm just kidding. No, of course not. Of course not. But you know, Deadpool's in all the cartoons too.
Okay.
He's in all the kids' cartoons and he just like loves tacos and he's sarcastic. So that's the Deadpool that Jack knows.
Yeah.
He doesn't know the one that Ryan Ripley brought to us.
We have a Harry Potter over here. And then, I think we have a Spider-Man.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So, I do not have my own costume. I do not have my own costume. I think I'm going to wear my t-shirt that says, Squid Goals on it.
Wow. We got to get Davey on you.
Yeah.
Davey will come up with 5 costumes for you. I bet he's got 3 spare ones.
Yeah. I do impressions. I don't need to wear costumes.
I could do impressions, I guess I wouldn't have to wear an Iron Man helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. Costumes are like impressions for your body. Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Rick, where can people follow you on social media? Where for the next Stephen Fishback attempted murder?
Yeah, that is @Rick_Devins on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Same thing on Instagram, although I've been locked out of that account since December of last year.
But my good
buddy Mark is working on that for me. He's talking to all of his connections.
What do you mean locked out? You lost the password?
No, a Turkish hacker hacked me.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, changed the password connected to the account. All this stuff, but my buddy Mark Douglas, my favorite Canadian, says
he's
using his connections.
Okay.
Although now that Facebook is Meta, who knows? I don't know what's going on. Left is right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rick, I just want to say again, thank you so much for coming in and saving the day. And I just said that, Rick, I think that you are such a great friend, and I really appreciate you you coming in on short notice here to basically pitch a bullpen game today, because this was really phenomenal. And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you, not just for doing this, but I just think that you're one of the greatest guys, Rick. So thank you so much for doing this.
Well, thank you. I definitely would have said no. But Fishback is dead to me now, so I feel like I need to cultivate this relationship.
Yes. Yes. and I don't do Twitter feuds, so we're good.
There you go. No, I mean, you've always been so good to me in like every single way. Every time I've had a favor, you've been there. So I love to reciprocate. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Rick, who has the better chance to make the fantasy football playoffs in the Rotten Coconuts?
Oh, man. I want to say me, because even though you and I have similar records and both our teams
you're 3-4.
I'm trying to look. I want to say that I've only got 3 wins, but the person winning my division is a paper lion in Dominic Abate, who's got a great record despite the fact that he scores no points.
But does the divisions count?
I assumed they do in my other fantasy.
I don't know if they do. I think they might just be for show.
Oh well. That might be trouble for Dwight's Army of Champions, my team.
Yeah, so technically I'm the 8th seed and you are the 9th seed, but I am headed to a loss this week, I think.
So yeah, Dominic, 5-2, leads our division, despite his points for being 826 and Chris Hammond's being 857, mine being 830. He scored less points than any of us. And he's leading the division. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that'll even out. That'll even out.
Dominic, I don't know who he sacrificed to the fantasy football gods.
Yeah.
At his new amazing cooking pit that Wendell Holland made him. Dude, we need to get Dom to host a party. Hey, you see the food he's putting out on that thing?
Yeah, it's sort of like a medieval type grill of like, it's like a metal, like it's like a giant, like a like 10-foot diameter, like metal tray that's over a fire pit.
Yeah, hanging on chains over the, it does. It looks like a torture device. But
yeah, if you're going to have like a human sacrifice at some point, you know, we'll go to Dom's house.
And he's got like a Brazilian steakhouse, like the money he's spending on meat that he throws on that thing. And every video he posts, I watch, like I'm tuning in just because I want that invite.
Right. Right. Like he's cooking like Flintstone steaks.
It is. It's cool. Survivor changed that dude. Clearly. He's like, I got to cook over the fire now.
Do you have any habits that you brought home with you from Survivor, Rick?
I drink a lot more water. I drink way more water. You know, I used to pop ibuprofen like every time I'd get a hint of a headache. And then I was out there and just like hydrated like crazy. And I'd get a headache and I'd just drink. And I brought that home.
Wow.
Like I still drink a lot of bad stuff, but I drink a lot more water than I used to and take a lot less like headache medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think the one thing that I do, I think I still constantly talk in confessional. Just to nobody, nobody allowed.
I did that before I went out. So that, didn't change.
All right. Well, Rick, thank you so much. This was so much fun and, all the best to you and have a happy Halloween.
Yeah, man. You too. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The great Rick Devins here with us on Rob's podcast. This interview with Rick Devins is sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. So lots of fun here with Rick Devins. We have our feedback show coming up with Puya Zambakili coming up over the weekend. Of course, the patrons get it early access on Saturday. We'll drop that in the main feed coming up on Sunday night. And then on Monday, we will have our Patron 41 Q&A. By the way, I dropped early our Halloween Spooktacular edition of the Nothing But Netflix podcast. Chappelle and I talked about a little movie called Ghost Teeth, dropped on Netflix the other day, a vampire movie. It was in the top 10 at one point. Check it out if you are interested in something spooky this Halloween. You do not need to watch Ghost Teeth to enjoy our podcast edition of Nothing But Netflix this week. And then over on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, I'll also have some special Olsen Twins coverage on a little podcast that we're calling It Takes Two with Rob and Akiva. So that is going to be coming up this weekend on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. And be sure to check out this weekend over in the Survivor podcast feed, Why Blank Lost special edition. David and Jessica have something special up their sleeves for find out what they do on an episode of YX Lost, where nobody lost. check that out in our Survivor podcast feed. Rob's website.com/Survivor feed. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Sorry again that we did not have the podcast with Todd. Hopefully we can catch up with him down the road. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see what you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.